you all? So good. Great time of worship. Thank you. So wonderful. We had baptisms in the first service. It was so good to see two women come and give their obedience, step of obedience in the water baptism. So it's so good. For those who don't know me, I'm Nina. I am, there I am. That's who I am. For those who don't know, I'm Jack's mum. Tiana's best mother-in-law. We're going to come around the word right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that your word is light to our feet, God. We thank you that we, oh God, can learn so much from your word. And we pray that today, oh God, as I teach from your word, that we would have fresh revelation. Pray, oh God, that we will put this word into practice, oh God, and live out that fulfilled Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Who's ever been in a plane, right? And you look through this little window, isn't it? It's just a tiny thing. And when you look through the window, all you can see is the... Who's a bag handler from the airport here? Great. All you see is them... chucking your bags in the... No, not really. Stomping on them. every time I get a new dent. I don't know what that's about anyway. So we only see so much out of a window. We see planes that are parked. We see perhaps sometimes we can see planes that are taken off. You know, we've only got a very small view of what's going on. We don't know the full traffic on the runway. We don't know what plane's landing, what planes are going out. We don't know what the weather, the clouds that are coming in. We only see a small view. But somewhere above in the airport control tower is someone watching everything. They have a radar, so they can see the planes that are landing, the planes that are taking off, the weather patterns. They see all the planes and what is happening in the air and on ground. They even see those baggage handlers kicking those bags.
John Smith.
No, not really. You know, they see everything that's happening. They know when it's safe for a plane to take off. They know when it's safe for a plane to land. The pilot doesn't thank the Lord, just rely on what he sees through the cockpit window, which his window is a little bit bigger than ours. He listens to the voice from the tower because that's the voice that has the full picture of what's going on. It's a voice that says you can take off now. That's a voice that says there's a big storm coming in. Wait on the tarmac. That's a voice that he needs to take heed of and listen to. And supernatural vision, which I'm going to be speaking about this morning, is like hearing from the control tower, from hearing and trusting God's voice for higher perspective over our limited one. Where chaos, where we see chaos, God sees order. Where we feel stuck, he sees the runway and is clearing it for us. When we tune into his voice, when we listen to the voice of God through the word of God, reading your Bible will give you insight and information and direction and clarity every day of your life. Praying, asking the Holy Spirit, you gain vision that goes beyond your visible. In the present, natural vision gives you facts, but supernatural vision gives you faith. And today I want to stir your hearts to have that supernatural vision. That's what supernatural vision does. It builds faith. You see in the spiritual. And when we start seeing with God's eyes by faith, not just by what's in front of us, we lead others to the Lord. We bring comfort to ourselves through his word. We see hope where others see despair, purpose where others see pain, and God's hand where others only see coincidence. There is power in supernatural vision. Vision beyond the visible, being able to see beyond. Sight that transforms. Victory through supernatural sight. Often people go through life and they live like this. They live with a blindfold, not knowing what spiritual things are going to come, not living in a supernatural, with supernatural vision, accepting things as they are, going about life without holding on to God or the Word of God or seeing where they're going and not seeing what's coming ahead. And I assume there is a end of a pulpit here, and I'm not going to go any further because I cannot see. But God wants to say, take off your blinders and begin to see in the spiritual realm. You know, there are things in the Word of God that He promises us that He wants you to live by and not live blindfolded to what's going on, that bill, that report. Oh no, this is the end. How am I going to do it? No, He said, take it off because I want to show you things. I just realized I think I'm getting old because I keep spitting. I'm so sorry. No, it's not getting old. I need a drink so I can spit more. sorry for those watching online. Too much information. Back to the Word. A battle is always on the go. So we need to have spiritual eyes and spiritual sight to see beyond the battle. God wants to show us. He wants us not to walk around with a blindfold, but He wants to open up our spiritual eyes and live in victory. You know, I've got a passage of scripture that I want to share from today that really opens up what I'm going to speak about, how to have spiritual sight. This whole passage is about having spiritual sight. So I want us to read from 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 10. And when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place." But immediately Elijah, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Armenians are planning to mobilize their troops there." So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elijah warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. How good is that? To be on the alert of what's about to happen. So number one, we see Elijah has supernatural foresight. What supernatural foresight is seeing beyond the natural, being able to see beyond things before they happen. So we see from this passage that the Armenians are sending raiding parties and armies into Israel. They're actually just across the way, and at nighttime they send their army, they send their raiders in to terrorize the people and to kidnap the slaves and to take people's goods. And this was happening time and time again on purpose to weaken the Israel army. And every time this king is making plans, Elijah sees beyond and he hears God speak to him and tell the king of Israel, don't go near there. Get your armies in place. Don't wait here. He gives him spiritual foresight of what is going to happen. Make sure you put soldiers out there. And it's frustrating the Syrian king. He's like, every time I plan, they're already there. That's a power of supernatural foresight. You know that when the enemy is going to do something before he does it, you know that aware of something's going to happen. If you don't want to live, with supernatural foresight, often you'll find yourself unaware and trapped in a place of attack. You know, I remember as a young girl going to Melbourne many times for the shopping because I love the shopping, and I was with a friend, Penny, and we were waiting at the tram line and we were in the glass shelter just waiting. People were everywhere. And as we're waiting and, you know, I've learned to be close to the Lord, to pray daily, to learn to hear the voice of God, the still small voice, the prompting. And so I've trained myself to listen to His voice. Do you know that you can train yourself to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, that he can speak to you, a prompting, a voice that is like, well, that's from left field. That's not me. Begin to hear what he wants to communicate to you. That's his role. The Holy Spirit has been sent to communicate to us. And so we're waiting in the shelter there. And I hear this still small thought in my head saying, step forward. So I grab Penny and I step forward. She's looking at me going, what are you doing? And as we took the step and stepped forward, this man came from behind and did a big karate kick and like hit the glass and shattered the glass. And then he starts swearing and going off in attack. Go back to your land. Go back to Israel. I'm like, oh, he thinks I'm a Jew. Oh, that's nice. You know, this is actually back in the 80s. Back then that was happening. And I'm like, I don't know whether to take it as a compliment or what. But anyway, so he's going off and I just pray in the spirit. In myself, and I begin to pray, and Penny begins to pray, and then all of a sudden, he takes off. You know, I think if that happened in Queensland, people will protect us. In Melbourne, they just stand around and move aside and wait, let the show begin, you know, and no one comes to our aid. But you see, I had spiritual foresight because I heard and responded to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that he wants to do that in your life? He wants to give you spiritual foresight. The enemy will come sneakily around. He tries to wind us. He tries to attack us. He tries to bring things that disarm us. And we need to have spiritual foresight to know what is happening, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you be on guard. He wants to give each and every one of us spiritual, supernatural foresight. To begin to see, and this is what we see in this passage, it frustrates the enemy because they're ready, they're prepared, and they're armed. You know, there's a defense already in place. And look what happens as the king of Armenia come. And he says, and the king of Aram, because he was very upset about this, he was upset that they were already in place. Because every time they ready to attack, the army was already in place on the defense. So he called his officers together and demanded, which of you are my traitor? Which is the traitor in this place? Who's been informing? Who's been dobbing on the king of Israel of my pants? Who's been telling him? It's not us, my lord. One of the officers replied, Elijah, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel, even the very words you speak in privacy in your bedroom. That's pretty cool. Hey? Even the very words. I love that. God is giving Elijah supernatural foresight. It's powerful and it devastates the work of the enemy. God wants to give each and every one of us supernatural foresight. How do you get that? How do you get that? Well, you ask. You ask God. You ask for it, right? Read your word. In here is our life manual. Is voices, is scriptures for your day, is what you're going to get into. God knows, and as you read your word, it prepares you for what you're going into. It arms you, you're ready for whatever you're going to face. And that, as a parent, you're here. Ask for supernatural foresight for your kids. No, God, speak to me that I will know what's good for them and what's bad for them. He wants to give you that. You know, Jack, I'm Jack's mum, and when Jack was a young boy, he's probably a little bit older because he was out late. He should have been home early. But that despite, I think he did tell me, can I stay up a little bit late? He was with some friends. And it was midnight and I woke because I was sleeping and I woke up and I felt the Holy Spirit say, Jack's in trouble. So I ring Jack straight away and he goes, Mum, how did you know? How did you know? I said, well, Jack, the Holy Spirit tells me things, you know. So I wish Holy Spirit, I was more in tune. But anyway, and he's like, so apparently he was on a premises that he shouldn't be playing Tiggy or Marco or something like that, and the police arrested this group of boys, and he was in on the ground in handcuffs and shakily going, Mum, they got it wrong. We were only playing Chasey, and not who plays Chasey at midnight anyway. Anyway, and so what had happened? There'd been a break-in in this whole facility of grounds, and because he was wrong place, wrong time, they thought that this group of young Christian boys were the culprits. And so obviously you don't know. As a police officer, you have to do due diligence, you know, break in, boys, one and two together. And so anyway, they release them to go. And, you know, and so as a parent, we can have supernatural foresight to come in, to be prepared, to bring a word of encouragement, to be aware of the enemy's plans. Spiritual foresight is a wonderful thing. Be in the presence of God. Talk to God. Be praying. Be in his presence daily. You will get spiritual foresight. Be reading his word every day. You will get spiritual foresight. Talk to the Holy Spirit who's been sent to us to be our comforter, our counselor, our reminder, our one who directs us, one who guides us, one who reveals to us. Be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Have daily conversations with the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you how many times I'll be talking and the Holy Spirit says, text so-and-so. And I go and text, and then later I get a response. How did you know this happened? Da, da, da. It's because God wants to use us to be messengers of love and comfort and prayer. And so can I encourage you? He wants to do that, not just to Pastor Nina, not just to Pastor Joe, right? Not to Pastor Nina. He wants to do that with each and every one of us. If you get a prompting to text someone, do it. Don't go, oh, they'll be right. No, do it because you never know. The Holy Spirit's saying, no, I want you to be the one who encourages them. In your family, in your business, having spiritual foresight to know the right plans to make, the right person to put in, the right strategy to have. He wants to help you in our workplaces as well. God desires to show us something before it happens to help us. So ask for spiritual foresight. Number two, spiritual sight. So supernatural foresight is for what's coming ahead. Supernatural sight is what's happening in the moment. Supernatural sight is very important to us as believers because if you're not walking and seeing spiritual things, you're not going to have the confidence to walk in those things, to walk in faith, to walk in power, to walk in victory. They're all things that God wants us to walk into, to live our lives, not cowardly, fearful, overwhelmed by the things that we face, but to walk in faith, to walk in power, to walk in victory. That is possible to walk into. Yep. So let's see what happens. 2 Kings 6:13, and he, the king of Aram, said, go and see where he is. And that's talking about Elijah. He's saying, go and see where this man of God is, that I may send and seize him, take him out so he doesn't warn the king of what I'm doing. And it was told of him, behold, he is in Dothan. So that's where the man of God is. And so the king is going to send troops. And watch what happens. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army of the enemy with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. You know, I picture this, the servant of the Lord in his robe, slippers, his coffee in his hand, just taking off his eye mask, walks out and he's like, "We're surrounded by soldiers and an army. When did this happen?" And he sees this, he begins to be frantic as he sees this army around them. "What do we do now? What do we do now?" Have you ever been in a situation when you're just blindfolded? You get a letter, you get a report, you get a doctor's report. You know, you get a, you know, I remember this, oh, I didn't say it in the first service, but, oh, you know, we had just arrived from Adelaide being pastors and taking the position of Albany Hills Christian Church, what it was, his initial name back in Warner. And we probably 5 years or 4 years, 2010, no, probably 3 years before, we had gone into an investment. So we had put money, $150,000, we had borrowed from the bank to do a, to be part of a development and have a, hopefully an investment place, you know. And so what had happened? Then the GFC happened. And the owner of the whole complex, right, went bankrupt because the banks were closing, they weren't lending any more money, they weren't going to release any more, and so he went bankrupt. But somehow, I don't know how, but we arrived here. So we lost $150,000, which was a loan that we were paying off. We still had our home loan. I don't know, we just... Anyway, some bad decisions. Hey, hindsight's a good thing. And so we were paying that off still, and we got here 3 weeks. I went and got the mail. We were living in a home that we were just there for 6 months and then looking for a rental. So just renting a house sit stay thing. And I got a letter from a lawyer, and it says, "We owe $1.3 million. I'm like, I'm shaking. Mark, he's mowing the lawn, and I'm going, "What is this? It's official, a real lawyer's letter, right?" And I go, Mark, we got this. What is this about?" Like, and he literally, he went pale, and he told me after, because he's got to be the strong man. He goes, "I just felt like vomiting. Just felt like vomiting." He goes, "We've done nothing. Like, where's this come from? Where's this come from?" And so he, as a man of God, went to prayer, had spiritual foresight, and he comes in and I'm crying. And, you know, with the ACC, one of the conditions to be a pastor is that you can't be bankrupt. If you're bankrupt, you can't be a pastor, right? You have to be financially sound. And he's like, "I took my whole family. We're here 3 weeks. What am I going to do? So he prays, and he felt the Lord say to him, I get emotional because it was horrible. Yeah. Comes in, he goes, "Nina, I felt God say to me, spiritual foresight. Like Hezekiah, he laid the letter on the table and began to pray." Right? This is what Hezekiah did. He put the bad report, he put it on the table, and we went into the lounge room and we didn't tell anyone. We went in there, we put the letter, and we begin to pray, "God, we don't know what this is about. We don't even know where to even start. We don't even know what even to do, but we give it to you, God, because this is not our doing. This is not us. We never did this. So wherever it's formative coming from, oh God, show us how to get out of this." And then we prayed, and then the day later, We just started talking, and Mark just going, "You know, I'm going to collect every piece of paperwork." On napkins, he had things written down, anything. And I'm a hoarder, so I keep every piece of scrap paper. And I had it in the file, and he photocopied it all, and he sent it off to this letter of a lawyer, which is Dinky Dye. And we go, "Now, Lord, we leave it in your hands. You fight for us." We didn't hear a word at all. It was gone. It was, I don't know where it came from. I don't know if the banks got the lawyers onto them to try and retrieve money from everyone and anyone who was signed in this development. So you see, spiritual foresight caused us to have peace in our life. And my computer went dead. Sorry. Okay. And it's very important to have the voice of the Holy Spirit to guide you to know what to do. We could have panicked. We could have taken another loan and given the $1.3 million. You know, the initial response we could have had. So, sorry, bear with me. Computers, we love them and we hate them. You have to go to God in things that blindside you and say, God, what do we do? We're going to trust you. We're going to have spiritual. And out of that, confidence begins to come. Stability begins to come. Power begins to come into the situation. Let's continue to read. And 2 Kings 6:16 says, do not be afraid. So the servant's out. He's looking. He goes, he's surrounded with this army. And Elijah says, do not be afraid. Do you know why Elijah can tell him not to be afraid? It's not because he's denying the facts there's a real army out there or he has more faith than anyone. Faith is not denying what you see of the facts. Faith is understanding that the greater reality, it's not that he doesn't see an army, but he sees in the eyes of faith. He knows that there are two armies outside, not just one army, not just the enemy. He sees a spiritual army outside. And look what he says. Don't be afraid, Elijah told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elijah prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elijah was filled with horses and chariots of fire. I believe that's where they got the name of that film from, Chariots of Fire. How great is that? There was a greater army that God put in place. There are greater armies that God wants to release in your life. Imagine the difference in his confidence instantly. Faith rose. That's the difference when we have spiritual sight it can bring into your life. You begin to see not just the situation. We didn't just see the letter, even though felt we wanted to vomit. We just didn't see the letter. We began to see, God, this, we're putting it back in your hands, in your ways. You're going to fight for us. But we need to begin to see how God wants us to see the circumstances in front of you, but begin to see what God is doing in your life. Sometimes it's about you. Sometimes God is going to teach you through things, but he's also going to be with you. You begin to see who God is, bigger than the army and the bad report. You begin to see how God is working. You begin to have faith when in a situation. You begin to draw from the faith of God and the power that comes in that situation. Some of you need to have a revelation today of how God is going to work in your situation. Maybe family, maybe your work, maybe your school. How is God going to help you to see with spiritual foresight? You've been looking at the enemy. You've been looking at the report. You've been looking at the circumstance. You've been looking, how am I ever going to get out of this? But God wants you to see that the enemy is defeated. He wants you to see beyond the enemy. He wants you to begin to see beyond the report. He wants to begin allow you to see beyond what you feel and what is happening. See, the angel of the Lord encampuses around those who fear the Lord. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your children. He has a plan for your spouse. He has a plan for your friends. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the surface. God's eyes see greater things. And that's what we need to see, is through God's eyes. What are you doing, God? How do I overcome this? And he will give you spiritual foresight. And that's what we need to do. You know, right now, if you're here in this place and you're facing something that has been overwhelming, that has been like I felt with that letter from that lawyer, something that I don't know how I'm going to overcome this. I don't know how I'm going to get over it. I don't know how this issue is going to be resolved. I don't know how my kids are going to come back to the Lord. I don't know how my relationship is going to be mended. We're going to pray right now. It's not the end of my service, but I'm going to pray right now, okay? If that's you, I want every eye closed right now. Let's begin to pray. Father, I pray for every person in this place. You know the reports that have come within their letterbox. God, you know the things that are worrying them, that are keeping up at night. God, you see, oh Father, that confidence has been, Lord, sucked out of their life, oh God. And I pray for supernatural confidence. I pray for peace. I pray that faith would rise. I pray that their spiritual, supernatural eyes would be open to see the sight how you want them to see. I pray that the decisions that they have to make, oh God, Lord, will come to you, Father, Lord, and lay them before you, oh God, and see supernatural foresight. I pray, Father, that provision in their lives where their Lord, there's a lack, oh God, allow them to have that supernatural sight, oh God, foresight to begin to see, Lord, what you're doing and how you're going to provide, Father. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, open eyes. Allow us to see in Jesus' name. You know, whenever we operate in faith, we disempower the enemy, because faith brings the power of God into whatever situation. When we laid that letter on the table, faith came in. Faith came into our hearts. I can't tell you what happened on the other side. I can't tell you what the discussions were, but I know faith and peace came into our hearts. I'm talking about seeing with eyes of faith, seeing with eyes of faith. Let's see what happens. And as the enemy came down towards him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elijah had asked. Not only are they surrounded by chariots of fire and protected in that way, Elijah has power to say, "Strike them with blindness now." And he speaks, and this army is struck with blindness. Now, this is not literal blindness that they can't physically see. This is like blindness of confusion. They don't know who's talking to them. They don't know where they are. And what we see is that they're not aware of the realities of what's going on. And all of a sudden, they're struck with this confusion, this blindness of confusion. And the enemy's been disempowered right now because spiritual sight came to play. And we see some of you need to start speaking the power of God over your situations. You need to begin to bring God into the situation. Say, "God, you're greater than this. God, you're greater than this opposition. God, you're greater than this affliction. God, you're greater than this sickness. God, you're greater than this problem that I have." And begin to see the impossible. Begin to see the miracle. Open your eyes and begin to see and begin to speak the word of faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we have supernatural foresight. We have supernatural sight. Now, number three, we see we have supernatural insight. Insight is the ability to see what needs to happen in the given moment. Now, insight for now. Insight for now, to see past the circumstances, right? Let's see what happens. And then Elijah went out and told them, "You have come the wrong way." So, you know, they're blinded at this time. They're confused. They were coming to Elijah at Dothan, but Elijah technically is from Samaria. So he's like, "I'll take you where I come from." God confused them, blinded their eyes to the realities. And they think they're going to Dothan, but they're actually going to Samaria. "And this isn't the right city. Follow me and I will take you to the man you're looking for." So they're looking for Elisha. I want to take him out because he's dobbing on them. And then he led them to the city of Samaria, taking the king out, I should say. And as soon as they had entered Samaria, Elijah prayed, "Oh Lord, now open their eyes and let them see." And so the Lord opened their eyes. The whole story is about spiritual sight. God blinding the work, blinding their eyes, and God opening the eyes of those who are leading them and walking in faith and walking in power. We notice their eyes are now open and suddenly they're surrounded. And they're disarmed. And Let's continue read on. And they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria. And when the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elijah, "My father, shall I kill him? Shall I kill him? Shall I kill him? This is my chance to take the enemy out. Thanks for bringing them to us. Now can I take them out?" See, that's a natural response of a king, of a one who wants to take out the army. You know, sometimes our response when something happens is to have a knee-jerk reaction and respond in a way. Revenge, take them out. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. You rejected me, you betrayed me, I'll betray you. You know, the responses in the human nature that we respond to. But I love how Elijah, with spiritual insight in this moment, responds. Godly person always sees the opportunity. Sorry, an ungodly person, someone who's not walking with the Lord, will always take the opportunity to react, to respond in a natural, carnal way. But Elijah, walking close to the Lord, has spiritual insight. And this means that sometimes things of God that we want to respond to or react to aren't always the right response to have. This tells us if we're not walking close to God, we will make wrong decisions because we'll make our decisions that is perhaps in a way to retaliate or to get back at. But God's power is with us in making insightful decisions that are right in the time. Insight in this case, Elijah is going to do something that surprises everyone, even the enemy. He's going to show them supernatural generosity. This is an opportunity to take out the army once and for all. But he says, no, we're going to show supernatural generosity and supernatural kindness that will change the course of the nation forever through one act of generosity. You know, it never would have happened if he went out with a knee-jerk reaction. We got them. Now we can attack. The king shouts out, "Shall I kill him? Shall I kill him? This is our time to get the rating. Shall I kill?" Bitterness does that, doesn't it? Can I get them? If I do this, if I send this letter, if I say this, have you had those conversations? I'll say this and they'll say this and then I'll say this and then they say this and then I say this and I got them right where I want them. But God's saying, no, I've got better things. I've got a bigger plan. I've got a bigger purpose. Leave them to me. You just respond with supernatural insight. Don't get revenge. Don't drink the poison that you're giving to them. There's no place to carry resentment. We've all been hurt. Some of us are still being hurt. But there is a better way. A better way. It's not the godly way to destroy someone else's life and your life because you're upset, because you're bitter, because you're angry. So when God wants us to do something supernatural, he'll give you a supernatural insight for the moment. Let's see how Elijah sets them up for generosity. Verse 22, "And do not kill them," he said to the king. "Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Iran stopped raiding Israel's territory. Wow. A table full of food. Who would have thought food would have disarmed an army from ever attacking again? What a beautiful, beautiful response. I want the team to come, please. A meal stopped the devastating effect of the enemy. Who is God wanting you to be kind to? Who is God wanting you to forgive? Who is God wanting you to show generosity where generosity is not really needed or perhaps deserved? God wants to give you supernatural foresight. God wants to give you supernatural sight. God wants to give you supernatural insight. You can be generous. When the situation doesn't make sense, to be generous. You can disempower the enemy over your life. You know, many years ago, I said it was in my 40s and realised, no, it's actually in my 30s because the kids were young. We had a president of a, almost said the name, a president of a well-known bikie gang come to church. And he was on a journey of finding faith. He was on a journey of discovering who God is. And as you could imagine, someone of that caliber is well known because there's pictures in the paper of him often, of something that's happened or something that, you know. So they gave Mark the responsibility to disciple him. I wasn't really that happy, only because I knew, Maddie, it's good to see you. Only because I knew, because I read the papers too. And I knew what he was involved in. And I knew that there were people after him. And I knew that you could easily get caught in a crossfire. And I knew all that stuff. And so I was a pastor, but I was a very faithless pastor in that time. Because I was just like, I don't want to be a widow. I want to enjoy holidays and retirement and long life as is promised. But they wouldn't put anyone, I don't know why they chose Mark, but they wouldn't put anyone onto him. And Mark took him down a journey of discovering who Jesus is and how he died on the cross. And he gave his life to Jesus in this time, in his discovery, in his inquiry of the Lord. And, you know, and so Mark would go to the club because he would always say, come to the club rooms. And I say, Mark, just close your eyes when you go in there and look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, because I know which girls are in there. Look to Jesus. And so go in the club rooms and he's looking to Jesus. And he goes in the office. And, you know, when this man walked in the club rooms, it was like Jesus to them. The guys and the girls that all parted. Because he was king, right? He was someone to be feared. And Mark would spend time in discovering the scriptures and telling him how the forgiveness and the love of God. And so he's really having a great transformation. And I think that's great. And then I'm mopping the floors. It was a Thursday night. I never forget. It was 10:30 at night, because that's what you do as mums when the kids are in bed. Or maybe because I just love clean floors. And, yeah, I know, Joe, I do. Mopping. Remember, I've trained to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. When God speaks to me, right? And there's a voice. There's a voice of God. I know it's His voice. And He says, you got to invite Him over and make a big spread of meal for Him. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not inviting him over, right? But you know, when God says something, when you feel that it's God, try and wriggle and make excuses. And I'm busy on Thursday night. I got to do this. And I couldn't shake it, and I knew that I had to. He came over. Mark came home that night. And I know that he would have been worried to ask me if I would, because he knew how I felt. And he said, hey, Nina, I really felt I needed to ask him over for a meal on next Thursday. And I go, yeah, I know. God's already told me, and I'm happy to do it. You know, no. By this stage, I got over my fear, and I said, and I'm gonna make a spread so big, pasta and chicken schnitzel and salami and flat potatoes with cream and no pumpkin, peas, and then I'm going to make tiramisu, I'm going to make vanilla slice. And I was like, I know, right? He came. He ate. And ate some more, as you would when you have my food. And he sits at the table and he goes, I've never experienced so much love from strangers, so much kindness. And I knew that he needed to see what the love of God was through us. I want to encourage you. Get over yourself. Cross the line. Listen for what the still small voice is saying. Whether it be forgive, whether it show generosity. Because there are people out there that need to know what the love of Jesus is. I want to tell you that he left. It's easy to join a bike again. It's not easy to get out of a bike again, especially if you're the president. But we helped navigate it and he found a way. And now he's working and he's loving the Lord and he's leading many other bikies to the Lord through this. And many of, when he left, his associate, they all became Christians and left. So you see, God wants to use you and you and you and you to have spiritual foresight, to have spiritual sight, to have spiritual insight, so the love of Jesus and generosity can come into people's lives. Would you stand with me right now as we close? And I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we get to have and we get to learn and we get to appropriate in our life what it is to know the voice of the Holy Spirit, to have spiritual and supernatural foresight. Give it to us, Lord. We want to have supernatural foresight. Give us supernatural sight to see what is before us, oh God. What is to happen, what we need to do. And God, I pray for supernatural insight to know how do we respond in situations that seem so unfair. Father, I pray that we would be people in this place who don't preach the gospel, but we live it out. That we live out the very teachings of Jesus to love, to obey, to live fearfully before the Lord. Help us, O God, not to just accept the facts, but let us help us to grow in faith and save supernatural vision, supernatural sight. Father, I pray for every person in this place where it seems to be overwhelming. I pray, Holy Spirit, will you speak to them even in this day and give them that supernatural vision that you want to do through them and in them, in Jesus' name. You know, as your eyes are still closed and your head about, I can't close this meeting without giving you an opportunity. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the one who died on the cross and he rose again, so you don't have a death and a life without eternal peace, direction, and eternity. And if that's you today, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hands just to indicate to me if you're saying, I want to accept Jesus Christ. We had a man give his life to Jesus in our first service. What a rejoicing that was. And the Bible says that when one responds to Jesus, there is a party in heaven because one is plucked out of the kingdom of darkness. If that's you today, perhaps you're here and you want to give your life back to Jesus because you've been walking your life without him in your life, doing it your way. That's you this morning. I want to pray for you. If you'd like to raise your hand and I just look over and pray for anyone here. He wants to give you be your friend. Yeah, on my right. God bless you, sir. That's awesome. You'll never regret that decision. I've been walking with the Lord for over 50 years now, and the best thing that happened to me, best thing, Mark, the best thing. We're rich in spirit because of what Jesus done in our life. Will you pray with me to help this young man? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and rose again. I ask that you would forgive me of my wrongdoings, and I ask that you would take the steering wheel of my life and direct it in the path that you have for me. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for eternal life. Amen. Amen. Young man, so good. It's awesome.